Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Who are you?
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5, presented by Zata Jewelers. KFNC and KFNC HD2, Mont Bellevue, Houston.
They've got something new now. It's called the Press Box.
You're back in the Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
Two to go, just one in the book. As we continue to learn and look and listen to every single aspect of what keeps coming out on almost a daily basis on Deshaun Watson. And we spent most of the first hour, after recapping the national championship game, in getting into the Tony Busby press conference today that happened at noon, and then subsequently introduced us to one, and now there are two, of the victims involved in the cases that are being handled by Busby.
Lauren Baxley is the other name.
Yep.
So it's Ashley Solis and Lauren Baxley, and I'm assuming that's how you pronounce it, Baxley. But she wrote a letter to Deshaun Watson that was read by lawyer Cornelia Branfield Harvey, and that was read at the press conference. I rolled like 45 minutes, but I didn't get to watch the entire thing because I was watching it basically in between breaks as I was producing the Charlie Polillo show.
Who?
Yeah, who's that guy, right? Here's a quote. I got into massage therapy to heal people. This is from Solis. To heal their minds and bodies, to bring peace to their souls. Deshaun Watson has robbed me of that. He took that away from me. He tainted a profession in which I take enormous pride. I suffer from panic attacks, anxiety, and depression. And that's just one of several quotes, not to mention the letter that was written by the other alleged victim in Lauren Baxley. So we talked a lot about that in the first hour, mostly because the press conference popped off right in between 11 and 1 a.m.
At
noon. And we knew about this press conference yesterday when we were in Beaumont. I announced he made the announcement that there would be a press conference tomorrow. We were in the Mont yesterday, by the way. Shout out to B-Town, by the way. The 409 was
always good to us. Cool. Love the 409. By the way, Highway 90 on the way home. Absolutely, a breeze.
Wasn't it an easy drive?
Oh, my goodness.
Isn't it a great drive?
Well, I'm not like you. I mean, you're like, it's a beautiful drive. It's scenic.
I didn't say all that. It brings great feelings to me as I am behind the wheel.
See,
now you're exaggerating. I just said it was an enjoyable drive.
When you get some of the stop signs, stop lights, and it hit the small towns where the speed limit changes. But other than that, that was the most painless drive home from Beaumont. As much as I love being there once we get there, and the drive there was normally never a problem, though yesterday for us it was, getting home, that's the easiest time I've ever had getting home.
So why'd you leave so early like a vajayjay? What made you? We were taking shots.
I actually wanted to watch the championship game.
So?
It's taken me up to 3 hours previously to get home to Sugarland from Beaumont, and I didn't, and plus I have kids. And Lisa, who took the day off Monday so that it wouldn't be a big deal if I went to Beaumont, was back on the air this morning. So I needed to get home so I could make sure she could get to bed at a reasonable hour. And I could make sure all the kid duties were out of the way and they were sleeping. So when the game started, I had no interruption.
We were taking shots. Fred took shots.
Oh, I heard AJ take shots at me on the air. That's the funny thing. Boss, program director, solid guy.
What did he say? He didn't say anything inappropriate.
Because you and I had a discussion about Miley Cyrus. Because if I don't like her, then I'm 70 years old and I wanted Miles Davis, who I couldn't name one song from. Sorry. Not sorry. And this is a guy that I helped get to 5 under on time because they completely shut down I-10. So he knew and he said, good looking out, because I gave him the heads up so he could take an alternate route. And the payback I get is those kind of jabs.
And then in the commercial break, you went as far as to call AJ uglier and fatter, which I don't really see the big difference between y'all sizes. Y'all are both pretty fat. I'm just throwing that out.
You got Fred Fowler telling you need to get to Dr. Linville to grow hair and cover your horn.
And I'm not going to do that. Shout out to Dr. Linville. Shout out to Dr. Linville. I don't need him to cover my horn, but thank you.
I completely agreed with that. But I mean, look, if we're getting back to that stuff again, well, I mean, I was introduced to show-on-show crime from the Blitz, so why not keep it going? That's the way they like to do things. You know, I thought we were all teammates here, and I thought our fearless leader was our program director, but look, our manager just cares about waiting.
So you can't name one Miles Davis song?
Cannot.
I don't believe you.
You might be able to play a song, and I could recognize it, but in terms of if you said, name me a if we were playing Jeopardy, Aaron Rodgers, and you said, name me a Miles Davis song, I could not.
It sounds pretty bad.
Yeah.
This is what you listen to?
No, I don't. That's the thing.
You and Barry Warner?
No. And Barry Warner wouldn't have the class to listen to this.
What is this?
I don't know. What did you pick? You're the one that put it on the air.
Kind of Blue.
Piano Concerto number 4?
This is some hot garbage. I would never listen to this.
Exactly. Nor would I. But that was AJ's idea of poking fun. This is a guy when we were on the road in Dallas, the songs he was putting on the jukebox were completely just like his whacked out sense of musical taste, and he's going to take shots at others. That's typical. All right, let's get back to the program. All right, so we can get back to the Deshaun content as we continue to.
We spent quite a bit of time on it, so.
Reel in some of the other comments. If we can get some of the other quotes from the victims, we'll do that. But we gave you the gist of what happened with Tony Busby in his press conference at noon. We did talk about the game at least a little bit. Mr. Brostash, I give you credit as a Zags fan for giving Baylor credit. Big win. Credit to the Baylor Bears. And look, Scott Drew, 18 years, a long time, but give him credit. And people thought he was crazy. In his introductory press conference, he said, we're going to win a national title. And everybody was like, yeah, right. Come on, you're Baylor. Baylor basketball is going to win a national title. Well, guess what?
I don't give him that much credit for it when it was like 20 damn years ago, though. Sorry, buddy. Dennis
Lindsey, now the VP of the Utah Jazz, a one-time backcourt mate of assistant coach in the NBA, Melvin Hunt, both Rockets employees back in the day, as well as one of the biggest Baylor backers of all time, Carol Dawson. Congratulations, guys. My buddy Brent Shepard is another Baylor grad.
Quentin,
that we're so big into
on our sales team is a Baylor grad.
Quentin and our sales staff.
We were actually watching the game at the same spot, and we didn't even know. I didn't even know he was there. He didn't know I was there. Kirby's Ice House.
Sure that's what they call it?
I'm pretty sure that's what they call it.
Okay.
I mean, I'm pretty sure that's the name. I've been there quite a bit.
So you drove back from Beaumont and then
to
decided
the station,
to watch it?
To Kirby's Ice House.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
John's been waiting patiently for quite a while. And so, John, we apologize. We had to get the news of the day with Sean Watson, but you wanted to get on the national championship game. Don't want to keep you waiting any longer, my friend. What's going on?
Hey guys, how's it going? So thanks for having me on. I don't know if you remember, obviously I'm a very avid Baylor fan, follow the teams very, very closely, and you know, I think we had a discussion very early on about the whole Baylor Gonzaga, you know, who's better or not, and I think you've always been in the camp that Gonzaga was head and shoulders above everybody else. So now that we have all the data points and the season's over, I think if you look back and reflect and compare both teams, I don't think it's even remotely close as to which team was better. If you look at the problem with Gonzaga is, and they do this, but they're a great program, not taking anything away from them. I think most likely, after actually seeing everything, how they struggled against an 11-seeded UCLA, and then getting smashed by us, like completely wiped off the floor from start to finish. I mean, you kind of have to question whether they were truly as great as everybody made them out to be, because they've done this many, many times before. They'll play a handful of good teams at the very beginning of the season when teams are don't have the chemistry and things like that, and they'll get some wins, get all the hype, and then they play in a high school conference. I mean, they play absolutely nobody, especially this year. Their conference is a complete joke. Whereas, you know, Baylor played Illinois, and then the Big 12 was obviously a grind start to finish, round robin. had the COVID pause, pre-COVID, Baylor was top three offense and defense.
John.
And a lot of people got lost in this idea that, that the COVID pause didn't have as much. A lot of the analysts that really watch actually gave us all that credit.
John, okay, I get it. And you won, and you guys won. Now, and congratulations. And I understand and feel your passion. But at the same time, here's what I want people to take away from this. Don't take away from anything that Gonzaga did. Don't take away from the fact that they did what you weren't able to do, regardless of their schedule, because they had scheduled you guys on your schedule, and they had scheduled a lot of other opponents, too. The bottom line is you're right. Conference to conference, absolutely. Did you absolutely house them last night? For sure. Do I agree with Seth Greenberg if they played 10 times, Baylor would win 8? No, I don't, because I do believe that they were somewhat mentally and physically gassed after Saturday night. But I'm not trying to take anything away from you. I'm just trying to avoid what you're doing, which is trying to poop all over the Zags. I think both teams were phenomenal.
Gonzaga was a great team. I mean, you were on the Zags from day one.
No doubt.
And why wouldn't you? Why would anybody call you an idiot for being on the Zags so high? This guy was just filibustering. We appreciate the call, though,
yes,
John.
Yes,
I don't want to be mean to you. But that was.
There's two sides to every story. And you know what? For one night with one shining moment, you got the best of the Zags, and you got the most important thing, which is the national championship. But I don't think you should be discounting and pooping all over the Zags to that level, because they were still one hell of a team on one hell of a run. And if you guys were going to want to take the same kind of credit that you were trying to dispel in the Zags, you'd have been undefeated too. But yet I already gave you excuses, because I said you went through the pandemic and certain things happened. Well, they got through it too. They got through it unscathed. Last night they took their first loss. That doesn't take away from what was a hell of a run for them too. But congratulations to the Baylor Bears. How about that?
Hey, look, I've said it multiple times. They're the better team. They're certainly better than the Cougs.
You believe that Seth Greenberg said if they played 10 times, Baylor would win 8?
No, I do not believe that.
Because I don't think...
I don't believe that at all.
I don't think Baylor shoots 58% from 3 or whatever they finish shooting every single time.
No.
Just like we said, one night you can be on, the next night you can be off. Everything was clicking for him last night. That doesn't mean 10 times it's going to happen 8.
I disagree with that 100%.
I'm with you. All right, there's a little bit more national championship talk. We know the Astros lost last night, back at it tonight in Anaheim against the Angels. Rockets lost to the Suns. They still remain home. They got a game, I believe, tomorrow night. But the suck is on, and the suck is real, and they're still in the running for one of the top three worst records in the league. So if there's anything else that you guys want to get to today other than what we've been talking about with Deshaun Watson, Tony Busby's press conference, and other things, bring it to us. 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line for calls and texts. Otherwise, Twitch and Twitter, it's Press Box. Yeah.
This is Heisman Trophy winner and College Football Hall of Fame, Mike Rozier, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
This is the Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
Swing and a miss. And Tatis hurts himself on the swing. Fernando goes down after strike three. And appears to be clutching his arm.
Bizarre set of circumstances involving, if you're a Padres fan and a Fernando Tatis Jr. fan like Nick, could be some bad news on the horizon for Fernando Tatis. Thank God he got the long-term big money contract out of the way, because
for
it looks
him,
like, yeah,
not for the team.
No, but it looks like it could be one of those situations where he's going to be paid for free, because you didn't get the visual there, but on a big swing and a miss, as the bat came back around and smacked him in the shoulder blade and in the high area of the back of his shoulder, the rumor is potentially a torn labrum in his shoulder. If that's the case, he would be done for the season.
God, that would suck. 341 million reasons to be scared.
No,
but
taking
the
care of, well, for the Padres organization.
If you're the Padres,
yes.
That's what I'm saying.
If you're him, you got no worries in the world.
But he should. I mean, I assume he is a competitor. He looks like he's having fun out there. Yep. He's obviously a really good player, so I'm sure it bothers him too a little bit. But there's definitely a sense of relief that that direct deposit is still gonna go. It's still gonna be clear.
But
every time,
as a Padres fan,
you got you're concerned big time.
You're really hurting today because here's the thing: you're crossing your fingers, much like with Michael Brantley when he got hit and you dodged a bullet because it wasn't broken and it wasn't all these other things it could have been, and it was just a, it didn't even go on the IL. He's just going to be day to day. This is the guy that's the centerpiece of how an accelerated plan for your team got moved along. He was so good so quickly, and you got Manny Machado, that you just completely went into go-for-it mode. You made move after move last year to strengthen your team. Even after you went out and got a Mike Clevinger and he got hurt, you weren't done. You added Hugh Darvish. You added more pitching. You're in complete go-for-it mode, and the guy that is the leader of the go could be gone. That's not good.
It's terrible. It's terrible. And what if you're Tatis right now, I think you're feeling okay, but do you see the trend of these long contracts ever stopping despite seeing this? Because remember, I'm going to toot my own horn here. I remember saying, like, yeah, he's young, and yeah, he's probably healed a lot better, but there might be an injury-prone label to this guy. I talked about this when ESPN did that little mini documentary on him and how he jumped off a house and, like, shattered his femur or something like that. Those are the type of crazy things that he used to do. And I just don't know if it's a hell. I just don't know if that keeps you away from being injured.
But
even
if that's
if it happened at an early age,
I was gonna say,
and you can heal.
If you get hurt jumping off a house into a swimming pool, that's in your contract. That where the team could, if they wanted to.
No, this happened way before he became a professional.
Well, I'm talking about Jeff Kent, the whole notorious time he was riding a dirt bike, but he said he wasn't. He was doing something else when they found out. But again, if you want them to keep playing for you, and I've been a part of situations where players got hurt in non-basketball activity mode. But because they wanted to make sure the player was happy and stayed, they kind of just said, okay, we'll turn a blind eye to that one. I think that from the standpoint of what you're saying, Nick, I think it's a fine line because, yeah, these contracts are too long. And I also was big on record as saying, if you want to end up being the Angels and paying Albert Pujols the last 2 or 3 years of his career, when you're paying him exorbitant amounts of money for way less than what he was supposed to be when you signed him, because you knew going in order to get him away from the Cardinals, part of the price you're going to pay is, last couple of years, he's probably not going to be worth close to what you had to pay to get him.
Yeah, and I as a person who's owned businesses before and worked with my father during his, like, we're always looking for that return. You know what I mean? That's,
sure.
That's a
ROI,
return
on investment.
It's a massive thing that any normal businessman would look into, and I just see these big-ass contracts. And look, last year, who was a bigger fan of Tatis than me? At least down here on the fourth floor. But I wouldn't, if I was a billionaire, I wouldn't write that contract.
But
that's just me, though.
You traded for Tatis a day earlier, so you lucked out. You played the lottery at the right time. You got off the Tatis train and jumped on the Showtime bandwagon.
Showtime is going to be an unbelievable player if he can stay healthy. And it's the same thing for Tatis. Like, if Tatis could stay, the guy makes defense look fun to watch on TV. Yeah.
Well, here's the thing, Nick. We were talking about this with Springer, too. At a certain point, and this is why I don't necessarily, in the negotiations with Correa, I don't necessarily disagree with James Click. The fact that Correa's quote was, they told me they're not doing long-term contracts for big money with anybody. That's not how they're going to do it. If that is indeed what James Click said, to a certain degree, because of what you brought up too, I'm not mad at him. Because I know the players are going to be mad. I know agents aren't going to be happy because they're not going to cash in as big for as many years and get the chance that they're going to get more money when they have less ability. But at the same time, when we see things like this, and he signed a way longer than normal long-term extension, you have to start scratching your temple going, well, I hope your insurance policy is really good, because if he gets the wrong kind of injury and it's not career-ending but it's going to be debilitating, there's no way you're cashing in and getting anything on your return on your investment like you thought you were going to get. So you have to start thinking twice. That's why with Correa, I'm not mad at the Astros. I think you had to play that cautiously. So far, and I'm even paying more attention to Correa now. Not exactly off to a red hot start.
Nope.
And that's what I was worried about, because you be careful what you ask for when you bet on yourself.
And the thing is, that's probably why he wanted it done before the season so bad, because he didn't want that looming over his head, and he might have been concerned that it might affect him mentally. I think that has to be a thought if you're a player. Like, will this mentally impact my game if I don't get this deal signed? And then if I start having, I don't know, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 at-bats that are just not good, it may be a long drought. It may be a long situation. And nobody wants that. That's the last thing I want to see from Carlos Correa. Because we all know the offense is not necessarily the problem here on this lineup.
But we also
on this team. It's the pitching.
You can't have your cake and eat it too, right? Unless you had Lindor-like stats. Unless you had just this overwhelming, overflowing ability and potential that you saw with Tatis Jr. that lent itself to you saying, I got to wrap this guy up before he hits the open market ever because it's going to be a market storm that I can't deal with. And I'm San Diego. I'm not L.A., New York, Chicago. Well, from a Correa standpoint, there wasn't that storm because he didn't do that consistently, because he couldn't stay healthy, because he had all these different setbacks. Sure, we've seen glimpses of what we thought we were going to get night in, night out throughout his early career when they drafted him number one. But there's as many drawbacks as there are positives when you start, again, in tough negotiations, and I give the Astros credit because a lot of teams are going to appease the player and take the financial hit in the rear end that they can't and just cross their fingers that he comes through. The Astros were willing to roll the dice too and say, hey, look, we like you, but if you're looking for, and he said they weren't even close, if you're looking for 8 to 10 years at anywhere close to Lindor or Tatis Jr. money,
I appreciate the fact that the Astros know what their stop point is, that they know what their limit is, what they know what they're willing to pay for a guy. So that's a good thing. That tells me that they did the research. They looked at that situation. They looked at the pros and cons. I think they considered a world without Correa before making that offer. They said, you know what? There's a possibility that Carlos Correa may not like that contract proposal, and we may just have to look at this situation as, you know what? This may be an Astros squad without Carlos Correa. We're going to have to find a replacement whether we do good at it or not.
Being business-wise doesn't normally make you fan-friendly. The fans want to see you throw the money and just say, how many times we saw on Twitter leading up to the deadline opening day, just pay the man. Just give him his money already.
Yeah.
Take care of this guy. Well, you don't know what the money was that he wanted, and if the money and the term of the contract was as long and as high as he was indicating, then it's a tough, ugly situation for the Astros to be in because you want to appease your fans, but to make the smart move, I commend them for holding their ground and saying, look, we have a threshold. We're not willing to go past.
Yeah, and because they did that, now Carlos Correa has to deal with the mental aspect of this situation when performing. And the other thing that we didn't mention is, again, the health. What if he gets injured? What if he gets injured in this situation? Then it's really not going to help his situation. You know how long it takes to recover from a torn labrum? 4 to 6 weeks. Before it attaches itself or reattaches itself to the rim of the bone. So that, to me, like imagine Correa being out 4 to 6 weeks, like the Tatis situation. And I'm not even sure if it's 4 to 6 weeks in a situation. It could be longer. It could be shorter. But just imagine if he has a surgery like that where he's out four to six weeks, or he has an injury like that where he's out 4 to 6 weeks. He's really not going to help his case at all. And it's just going to make the Astros look more justified in giving him that offer.
In the case of Correa too, Nick, it's a give and take. If I'm willing to give you a long-term deal and a big contract before you've proven to and you're able to dispel your health issues and your ability to put up consistent numbers, then you've got to give to me too. You've got to give back and say, I don't need this many years, or I don't need this annual money if it means that I'm going to have the security.
But are you going to do that if your agent's in your ear telling you, we can get a big contract? Don't worry. If this Astros thing doesn't work out, I will get you the 8-year deal. Are you still going with that approach?
Need I give you Dallas Keuchel as Exhibit A? Dallas Keuchel's agent a few years ago,
it's true,
was the one telling him, you're going to get 4 or 5 years, you're going to get 20, 25 a year, and all of a sudden he had to sign a 1-year prove-it contract just to try and get back on everybody's radar as a guy that could stay healthy, still could pitch at a high level, even if his fastball had tailed off a little bit, and was worthy of getting a deal like he ended up finally getting with the White Sox. He was not pleased because he was sold that bill of goods and it didn't come true. So you got to be careful as an agent too, because these guys could change agents too.
But what about you? What if you're the agent? Do you think he has a legitimate shot at getting a big, long contract from another team outside the Houston Astros?
I think that here's the thing. I think that as long as you're honest with him and you sit down with him and you're frank, hey, man, look, I really firmly believe we're going to have 2 to 3 teams out there at the end of the year that are going to be willing to pay you more than what the Astros have offered. But I also got to be honest with you. You can't fall off. You can't have another injury or two. You can't have your numbers drop, because now I have nothing I can go to the table with that can justify and back up why I'm asking for what I'm asking for, and we're going to look really stupid.
Well, hopefully Carlos and his agent is having some sort of discussion, because clearly Carlos Correa is not happy with the proposal, and it looks like he's going to be playing in a Houston Astros uniform without the deal he wanted.
That I would say, Nick, as part of those conversations, I'd have one with the Astros and go, hey, I know we said opening day, but can we continue to, can we at least think about talking about it again at the All-Star break? Because at a certain point, cut your losses and make sure you can still get a decent long-term deal at a fair to him price where maybe he can relax and play baseball again. Because I think the longer this goes on, and it was a self-imposed deadline, I think the longer this goes on and the more the pressure builds and the more the weight gets on his shoulders, it's going to really continue to affect his performance. And that, from an Astros fan perspective, is something you don't want.
No, you don't. You don't want that at all. You do not want that at all. If he gets hurt again, that's, I don't know. I would imagine his agent wouldn't know what to say to him if he got, like, there's no words that could help ease the pain if he does indeed get injured. And I hope that doesn't happen, and I hope he ends up being an Astro, but it doesn't look like that's
the case. Absolutely. All right, before we get to the midway point break, I want to tell you about the good people at Apollo Men's Health. Look, Dr. O used to work at some of those other clinics, and he took his experiences and said, you know what, I can do this better. I know what works. I know what doesn't. I don't want to give people the runaround, and I can get them results. So he opened up his own clinics, and now Apollo Men's Health has 2 convenient locations right outside of downtown Houston, so you can get there and get the help that you need. And it's men and women. Though it says Apollo Men's Health, they will offer hormone therapy for both men and women. And, of course, for the men, it's cutting-edge testosterone therapy, which you can either do at your house, and they can teach you how to do it and send you the product, or you can do it weekly by going to the clinic, or you can get cutting-edge pellet testosterone therapy, which has all the same benefits as going into the clinic weekly or doing it at the house, but you only have to go in once every 6 months. And it works the same way. From the boardroom to the bedroom to the weight room, Apollo Men's Health has ways to help you and your spouse or significant other do the things that you thought wasn't possible anymore. From feeling a certain way to doing things that you only did when you were in your 20s, they have the way to put a plan together, as long as you're honest with them when you talk to them. So set up that first appointment and get the process started. 832-664-9966 is how you reach them. Otherwise, you can go to apollomh.com. Either way, book that first appointment. You're going to find out most major insurance is accepted. Discounts for military personnel and first responders. In April, you get a free B12 shot. You mentioned my name on your initial visit. So check them out today. Good people doing great things. It's Apollo Men's Health.
ESPN 97.5.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
This is the Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
It's a great jam, but I'm glad. I do is see those cartoon characters cutting rug with a sandwich in their hand.
Exactly what it is. I'm glad your daughter Taylor and I have the same taste in music.
And Maddie could be somewhere in another room and she hears this music, and all I hear is da-da. She comes in and she starts cutting rug and clapping and moving. And for Easter, I don't know what the name of this damn thing is, but Lisa found for Maddie, it's a chicken. It's a stuffed animal chicken. If you squeeze the wing, it plays a song, and then it hatches eggs. And it literally looks like the chicken's taking a dump, and colored eggs come flying out of its butt. And I'm like, I looked at it, I go, you bought that for her? And she's like, yeah, and it cute? I go, cute? Yeah, I mean, yeah, cute that it's shaking its tail feather until it starts dumping colored eggs on the floor.
Until it starts pooping all over the floor.
Yeah, all right.
Well, if she likes the toy, I guess. I've never seen anything like that. I guess that's the world of parents. I would never know. I just figured parents bought the Nintendo Switch and just told their kids to shut up. That's what I thought they did.
No, and I'm
or an iPad.
We're starting to.
Isn't that the best way to get a child to shut up? You give them an iPad or you give them a Switch?
Well, the iPad. That's what I'm saying. We're starting to scale back Taylor's iPad.
But she's not going to shut up then.
No, that's fine. She just needs to stay more active and do other things. I just think sometimes there's too much screen time.
Take the easy way out. Just give them the iPad, dude. You don't want to sit there and wear yourself out as a parent.
This morning. So yesterday while we were in Beaumont, Lisa takes them to the park and there's a big volleyball sand pit that no one was playing on. So they were playing in the sand or whatever. I'm fine with that. That's great because I want them to be at the park playing. This morning I'm getting them ready for school and I put Maddie's shoes on and we're getting ready to leave the house. And all of a sudden I stop and look. There's a massive pile of something on the floor. I'm like, what the hell is that? Feel free, wife, when you're done at the park to at least empty out the shoes. Maddie took her shoe off, and there was a pile of sand in the middle of the floor. I'm like, what the hell's that?
Well, I thought you were going to say something else. Like
no,
poop.
No, but how about this? So, and then my dumb ass half asleep because I'm trying to get, we're running late, and I get him to school, and we get out of the car, and I get Maddie out of her car seat, and I look, and normally she has this thing where she takes her shoes off in the car. So she's only got one shoe on. I was like, oh, don't worry about it. I said, tell the teacher, I'll get it. It's in the car. It's not in the car. And I start thinking about it. Now, wait a minute. There was a pile of sand on the floor. It came out of her shoe. That's probably the shoe. So I had to go home and found the shoe laying in the kitchen and then haul ass driving it back to the school. And like, yeah, it's just going to be one of those days today.
Well, that's one. I can barely remember to put my own shoes on. I forget stuff all the time when I leave the house. I wouldn't even know how to figure out how to like get my kids dressed and get them to school. That sounds terrible. That sounds like a terrible
every day,
life.
Brother. Every day. Some days are better awful than others. Yes, Tony Stark said, hashtag dad problems. You got that right, man. All right, so some of the questions off of text. Are agents allowed to speak to other teams to get a feel of the market? Sure they are. They're supposed to speak in generalities, but just like we know and we've talked about in the past, there are rules broken every single day where the agent can call teams and say, hypothetically, at the end of the year, what are you guys looking to do? And would you be in the market for a shortstop? And if you would, how much are you willing to pay? So I think that if you really want to stay above board, you never mention said player's name, but team knows which player you represent when talking to you on the phone as well. Someone else said the Dodgers will jump all over Correa. No, they won't because they got their own shortstop that actually offensively is better than Carlos Correa, that defensively.
Would he go maybe, to the Dodgers?
I'm sure he would because Daniela would love it to be in Los Angeles and Hollywood and everything. But they have Seager. If you have Seager, who's a better offensive player and more consistent player than that of Correa, why are you going to make that switch?
I agree with you. But even if Seager wasn't perceived to be the better player or that good, why would you go if you're Carlos Correa to that? I mean, obviously, you know, fans are fickle, and I imagine
Daniela's
if it really did
dictate some of this process. I really
Danielle
do.
Gets a lot of hate, man.
She gets a lot of hate, but I also think that she also is still in the back of her mind thinking for herself about the potential to have an acting career, a modeling career. I think she was at one point Miss Texas. So I got to believe that she's also thinking about herself.
They pulled the trigger on that one way too early.
In your opinion.
I would have upgraded for sure right when I got that big deal. My
so
first
you're
big
saying she's not all that in your mind?
I would have upgraded. Like, he's too early. How old is he?
Well, you said upgraded.
Yeah, I agree. I think she's slightly overrated.
Wait, agree. It's what you said. I'm just repeating it. I didn't say I agree with you because I think you get Miss Texas and you lock her up as your wife. You could do a lot worse.
You could. You could do a lot worse for sure.
And you're assuming he could do a lot better, but we don't know. We don't know what kind of game he's
got. What do you mean? He probably can do a lot better. What do you mean? He's Carlos Correa. He's a baseball star. He could absolutely do a lot better.
That doesn't matter like that.
What do you mean it doesn't matter? I mean, it's not like
Daniela's
ugly. She's a pretty gal.
To back up the game, if you know what I mean.
I get it. And I do believe that some athletes, like the point that you're trying to make, don't have game. Like, I actually agree with you in that regard. There's some of them, their game is pretty pathetic, and I think you've witnessed some of it in your time.
Yes, absolutely.
But, yeah, I don't see Carlos Correa lacking game, though. Okay. H-Town says he's scared to death of her. Is that the case? Is she running things like that?
I think. First of all, I don't know if he's scared of her or not, but I get the feeling in a lot of cases she's running things. Like on his rehab, when he's had his multitude of injuries, why is it that she does the videos and her Instagram gives you the latest updates on him, and she has to be the one in front of the camera whenever he's hurt and trying to come back? That's annoying.
That's her man.
All right, so I'm going to give some love to this 409-673 number because he or she sent way too many texts, but I'm also going to dispel what you're saying. It says on 162-game average, Correa is batting .270 with 44 home runs and 129 RBIs. That makes him worth the money, in my opinion. Well, it doesn't make him worth the money, in my opinion, because guess what? He's never been able to live up to that, both numbers-wise or just being able to play that many games. And he so far, in what, five of the six seasons or four of the five seasons, he hasn't come close, and with multiple injuries, and the numbers don't come close. Then they followed it up and said, and by the way, he's dominant in the postseason. That's where his value is. Look at his postseasons across the board, not just last season. Dominant is way too complimentary. And
agreed.
So I disagree with that
as
well.
I wouldn't use the word dominant at all. He had some moments and he did well, but I wouldn't use the word dominant.
I agree. So there's that. And people are saying, look, it's 1 year out of 10 for Tatis Jr. I agree, but you just hope that it doesn't start a path of where you committed, you know, a long-term deal at a high rate of money, expecting that you were going to get return on your investment, and it starts a downward spiral where you never come close. And again, I think if the Angels had to do all over again, they'd either go shorter term for less money for Pujols, or they might have been better off to let him just stay with the Cardinals, let them ride it out long-term, and use that money elsewhere. Because now when they have this team that has so many good players, they're still in search of depth and pitching and all those things that until he does retire at the end of the season, they can't get that money to use on other players.
Yeah, and I don't know if teams are going to start to think like that, because obviously it's easy for me with the microphone in my face to sit there from the outside looking in and saying, you know what, I just won't do that anymore. I won't offer those big contracts. And I get it. Yeah, it is the first year of a very long contract, and Tatis is very young, and I get that part. But it's still a scary situation because injuries can very well be reoccurring. We know this all the time. There's way too many type of injuries out there that are reoccurring, hamstrings. There's just a lot of situations like that. And so I don't know. I mean, I would like to think that baseball would move on, because at the end of the day, you're trying to win a championship. I can understand a player leaving your roster because it got to the point where your budget can't pay them anymore. So it just made sense to let them walk and sign somewhere else. But to just outright give someone 10 or 12 years and you don't even know where he's going to be in 10 or 12 years, it's just crazy to me. We don't know where we're going to be in 5 years. Okay. Like, where's Alex Smith? Where's Alex Smith today if he doesn't snap his leg in half? Is he still playing?
Oh, yeah.
Is he still playing at a high level?
Yeah, I believe he is.
Is he, you know what I mean? Like, where is he today? We don't know.
But
I
think the good backup for him was he had already signed the long-term deal at money, yeah. So he was going to be okay.
Right. And the money just certainly wasn't an issue for Alex Smith. I think it was more mental in him getting back.
Because when you do the Trevor Bauer approach and you bet on yourself and say, I'm going to sign a multitude of one-year deals, it's great when it's all working out and you're performing at a high level and you're raking in $35, $40 million for 1 year. But the minute you break down, you have to realize the return on your investment just went way down.
Agreed.
So when you then say at the end of your career, how much money did I make on average for the years I played? You may win, you may lose. Because if you had signed a long-term deal and then needed Tommy John surgery, or you had a complete breakdown and you never came back and you were never the same, you're still going to get paid the entire time. As opposed to, I made $435 or $40 for 1 year, but for the rest of my career, because of injuries and because it was cut short, I didn't make nearly what I could have made for my entire length of my career.
Yeah. No, I completely agree. That's why I'm shocked at the numbers of these contracts.
It's the whole Kwame Brown theory when he came out as the number one overall pick and Jordan took him with the Wizards. And everybody said,
yeah,
boy, he screwed up. He should have stayed in college. No,
yeah,
he shouldn't have, because if he stayed in college,
he
might have never gotten any a fraction of what he made with being the number one overall
timing
pick
with
back
the hype
in the
is
day
important.
When there wasn't a cap on picks.
Yep.
He got a massive amount of money he never would have gotten.
Timing with the hype was particularly important back at that time. I mean, it was very important. So getting paid first sometimes, in many cases, is the first option for a lot of these athletes, particularly students coming up in the college game or have a poor upbringing and they just trying to take care of their families. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. All right. You know what? We're going to continue to roll on in the second hour of the program. Before we do that, I do want to make sure that I make you guys aware of, with baseball season coming around and the fact that, you know what, whether you're watching at the stadium and you want to try and tailgate, or you just want to do it in the backyard and get the grill going while you watch some baseball, well, there's only one place to go if you want to get the right grill for your situation. It's Texas Star Grill Shops. Texas Star Grill Shops have the kind of specials and with the kind of expertise that you need when you want to get your grill on. They have sales all the time, but they have Traeger Timberline wood pellet grills. They're Hall of Fame grills. You can step up your game, and you've got to see the Traeger Timberline. And the fact of the matter is, they also have the meats right there on hand, like Akushi brisket. The Akushi brisket is there and available at $4.99 a pound. So you can get your grill, you can get your brisket, and you can get your grill on without having to go to the grocery store, run errands, and run all over town. The great thing is they're experts at what they do because they grill too. So they're going to tell you the selection that they have. Wood pellet grills, smokers, gas grills, infrareds, pizza ovens, ceramic cookers. It's from the brands you know. Traeger, Memphis, Weber, Sabre, Big Green Egg, Pits and Spits, and so much more. And the fact that they're grillers helps you even more because they know every brand of grill in the showroom. And you're not going to get the kind of expertise at a big box store you get here. You want to have a beer while you look around? They got that covered for you as well. Take advantage of all their sales right now. Four Houston area locations to serve you better and to make sure that you get the right grill at the right price. Best part, free assembly and delivery with every purchase. Get started today. TexasStarGrillShops.com. TexasStarGrillShops.com.
Your home for sports is ESPN 97.5. This is the Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
Hey, join us Thursday as we broadcast live from 1 to 7 p.m. like we did yesterday, except for the fact that we're not going to be in Beaumont. We're going to be right near the Juice Box as we get ready for the home opener, and you can be a part of it with us. Why not celebrate that big day and hang out with us for the entire afternoon as the Press Box and the Blitz are at Cidercade for the big home opener. Cidercade Houston has over 275 arcade games all unlocked for unlimited play, classics, pinball, fighters, shooters, sports, driving, and more. Watch live sports on 10 65-inch flat-screen TVs, two projectors, choose from 48 taps of different hard ciders, kombucha, seltzers, and wines, all made by Bishop Cider. Join us at Cidercade Houston Thursday in the East End, blocks from Minute Maid and BBVA. Learn more, CiderHouston.com. So that should be fun on Thursday as we get close to the ball game.
Hey, I want to get back into this because I'm still bitter about it.
Trash can on the field. I'm guessing that's an inflatable trash can that has been shared on the field. I don't know that I've ever seen an inflatable trash can. Not quite like in real life purposes. I understand the purpose it serves in this game, the fan taunting the visiting team.
Got a little bit of a smile from Jose Altuve. I don't blame him. Long, very, very good major league career as a player and an outstanding career.
It was raining trash cans.
Now that's the real deal.
What's the worst thing that's going to happen to the Astros this year? Because I don't think it's going to stop at trash cans. I think it's going to continue, and I think more people are going to get trouble, fined, suspended. Not just from, I think fans are going to get in trouble. I think stadiums and teams are going to get in trouble. I think a lot of people are going to just continue to not forget about this situation at all, Joel.
So there's two sides of this, Nick, because I want to get to the part that you just brought up, and I want to get to the Astros fan side of this where they really got to check themselves too. But I think that from your standpoint, it is possible it could get worse. I am a little perplexed by this because there's been so much time passed since it all came down. And I understand last year with the weird circumstances in baseball that a lot of fans feel like that they were not given the appropriate ability to vent and to vocalize and or put on signs and otherwise their displeasure with what the Astros did. I think it's also a reality check, though, as grown-ass people, that when you look at this and say, for the most part, most of the guys that were on that team that won that World Series, that were a part of whatever cheating went on, and we said there was cheating, are not with the Astros anymore. And you can look at Altuve, and you can look at Correa, and you can look at Bregman, and there's a core of, you know, a couple more. But overall, is it really worth it to just keep that going? And the fact is that when you look at what was done in Anaheim, that it was different than what was done in Oakland, it's not going to go away. And if you just stay in your seat and do it that way without throwing trash cans and other things on the field, and it doesn't affect the game the way it's played, the time of game or otherwise, or put anybody in any kind of physical jeopardy or from a safety standpoint, you're free to yell and do whatever you want to do. But you know what? Don't take it too far. Don't throw a full trash can of beer cans and crap on the field. Don't, you know, do things where the players don't see it coming, and then all of a sudden, you know, like Kyle Tucker's back's turned and this garbage can's being thrust over the railing. Don't do stupid stuff. And here's the other thing. The other point of this, and I don't know if you caught this or not, but because I stayed up watching that ridiculous debacle the way it ended, I also realized when the cans were being thrown on the field that Twitter started to light up. Well, Astros fans don't stoop to the level of the fans that are still doing this either, right? And their fans on social media. Because Astros fans immediately were like, what we just did. Are you really still doing this? Are really, if that's what you want to do? Because at the end of the day, if you just stick to your guns and say, hey, look, as long as they keep winning, doesn't matter. If it gives them extra motivation, great. But here's where Astros fans went last night that I really got a problem with.
Okay.
Their response to Angel fans trying to back up and justify what their fans did was, instead of worrying about throwing trash cans on the field and tweets from Astros fans that didn't like it, you should be worried about the fact that one of your players was killed because your staff kept pumping drugs into him when you knew he had a problem and you didn't do anything to solve it when their pitcher ended up passing. Don't cross that line.
No.
Don't be that guy.
No, you don't.
Don't be that fan base, because that is horrible.
I see a lot of fan bases and teams, if this continues to happen, actually enjoying this. Like the guy who picked up the inflatable trash can, he didn't seem like he was smiling or anything like that. But inside, I felt like he was probably giggling, like he didn't mind. But if your team is on some good stretch and they've got some momentum going, I'm not sure if that's going to help your team. And I would imagine that some teams may not like to see that, because if they're on a roll, that's the last thing that they want to see. They don't want the game to be stopped because momentum is going to, you know, might be halted. Nobody wants to see that. And so, yes, and I agree with you. Astros fans, the second that you saw that trash can, I knew Astros fans were going to react. And it's just, that's exactly what they want. Even if you don't go at the Angels fans when you bring it up, the fact that you brought it up is going to make the entire country go back at you because of the scandal. Even if you bring up the inflatable trash can on Twitter and don't take any shots at the Angels, everybody else is going to respond. Like when I tweeted about how the Astros were undefeated, all you get, like, people respond like, oh, keep banging them trash cans and blah, 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 blah. I just celebrated with one tweet saying that the Astros are undefeated, and people, I didn't take any shots at anybody else. And that's how people respond. So the second that you mention it, you're going to get heat. So that's why Astros Twitter is never going to stop, because there's going to be another incident. Someone's going to throw something else on the field. It's going to be because of the scandal. And then Astros fans are going to take to Twitter. It's inevitable. It's not going to stop.
Here's the thing, too. That's why I guess it really pained me more that they blew that game last night. The ultimate FU to everybody that's still got a problem and wants to do the trash can banging and throwing and all the other things is to just keep winning.
Yeah.
So the fact that you started, like you said, undefeated and sweeping a team that had the guy that basically got this whole thing rolling in Mike Fiers, even though he's a, for lack of a better term, a wuss for never pitching against them. You got out of town, and if you could have kept that streak rolling, the Jeff Passons of the world, all the different writers that have just decided that over and over again, the target that they wanted to keep coming at was the Astros, would have to shut up and go away, because they'd have to address the fact that instead of talking about what they did multiple years ago, it's what they're doing now. They're putting the league on notice that there's a whole lot of ability no matter what a couple of guys chose to do. So get over it. That's why I hated them losing last night. And by the way, I still would love to find out what happened to that letter with the Yankees. that was supposed to be uncovered and opened and unsealed to talk about the other things that they did. The fact that there were...
It would have made a probably no difference, I think. Even if they did reveal it, it would have probably made no freaking difference. Because, you know, they weren't going to sanction or do anything to the Yankees anyway. And I don't think they could based on that letter.
I think Rob Manfred protects who he wants to protect.
That could be true. That I don't deny.
It annoys the hell out of me. All right, we'll continue to roll. 2 hours in the books, 1 hour still to go, 60 minutes on the clock. We come back. Don't go anywhere. Keep it here as we help you get through a Tuesday on the Press Box.
When it comes to sports betting, SportsMapBets.com is the site you need. From weekly betting guides to single game breakdowns of the point spread, money line, over under, and more, SportsMapBets has all the info you need to make the best play. SportsMapBets.com.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.